You get a chance on your way to the arena, come on by the downtown Beach Hut Deli. Crepes is here. You got Jay's here, Joe Jarose, Kevin Whitey Gleason, getting ready for a massive contest against the hated Dallas Mavericks. This could be just the sprouting of a genuine rivalry. You know, if they don't play in the playoffs and they don't play it till next year, maybe not. But I think we have a lot of the elements here for a real rivalry. And I think one of the elements is Luka. You know, if he doesn't get his calls tonight.
Oh, man. The fans are going to give him the business tonight.
Yes.
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 And he has a reputation, obviously, as one of the biggest whiners in the league. And, you know, our Sacramento fan base, they're so knowledgeable. They understand the game. They're going to be ready. This crowd is going to be ready for him tonight.
Uh-huh. Is he third in the league at getting to the line, or is he second? He gets to the line a lot. He gets to the line, I think, 8.9 times per game.
Yeah, I think he's second. I think Embiid is not there
is
anymore.
There.
Yeah, Embiid doesn't qualify anymore. So I think it's Giannis, Luka, and Shea, I believe
you're correct. Yeah, so we know that officials are calling fewer fouls. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Kings' defense seems to be better since – officials are allowing more physical play. So to me, that's one of the keys tonight. If Luka gets his calls, then he's going to be happy shooting his free throws. And if he doesn't, and the Kings are able to get up into him a little bit.
What's he going to do?
Why do you hate me? He literally said that to an official.
Yes, yes.
Why do you hate me?
And I remember played them at Dallas earlier this season, and he was whining and complaining. And, you know, here's the thing. It hurts his team. Like, it's not like he's, you know, whining and complaining when play stops. He misses a shot or flops down. He's sitting there whining, and play is going on the other way.
Right.
And, you know, you brought up something very interesting just a second ago, and I never thought we'd say this about the Sacramento Kings, not at least this season. You said the increased physicality is helping the Sacramento Kings, and if we can bring it tonight. I didn't think – we were a physical team, and we could be described as that. But over this last month or so, we are seeing the physicality on the ball.
There
is something to it, yes. And that's exactly what Mike Brown has been trying to get at all season long. And you're seeing the DNA of this team really transform here throughout this season.
I think that's the two things that have transformed the defense is Keon Ellis, who's been spectacular, and then all the things Mike Brown has been preaching. The Kings are finding that, all right, we're doing some of these things, and they're not calling fouls on us. We're getting up into people like he preaches,
right?
And we're not getting called for the fouls. So I think it's working to their benefit. It's working against especially De'Aaron Fox at the other end, and Domas, it may be working against him, but it's almost like he's oblivious to it. It's like, you can hit me over the head with a 2x4. I don't care. I'm still going to try to score. It's not going to affect me.
Right, exactly. And Domas is the kind of dude, you know, he likes it rough and tumble,
Right.
And on the other end, too, if you're not going to call it on him, he's ready for that smoke. And so I think you're seeing this Kings team adapt the way they play to the officiating, you know, in terms of not getting the whistles or not complaining.
Seems like
they're playing through that contact, and it's beautiful to see, man, because this is priming them and prepping them for the postseason.
Mm-hmm. I also think the last couple games, especially to me, Kyle, I'd be interested to know what you think, what you think, dear listener. The offense in the half court, there's much more ball movement, especially beginning of the game last night. They're playing with a little more pace in the half court. There's more ball movement, player movement. Things aren't stagnating. I thought that's one of the things that happened against Washington, and I think that's one of the reasons Keon has started shooting the ball better. I think when he gets into rhythm and he's coming off of a screen, making the catch and shooting, I think he's more effective than when it's a standalone catch and shoot.
You think so, huh? Like the player movement has helped him as well. And maybe so. You know, it you don't have time to think or anything like that. You're just reacting, coming off. I will say this. One thing I've seen, you know, from the Kings offensively, to your point, over the last, you know, week or two or a few weeks is, you know, the pace that you're talking about. There's two different types of pace that you know, can happen in an offensive set. Obviously, we know the slow one, but I'm talking a frenetic pace. It hasn't been frenetic.
Right.
It's been controlled
pace.
You know, those driving kicks, those spray threes that Mike Brown talks about, it really seems to be, you know, like this team has figured out the offense and the pace and the tempo, if you will, that they want to play with. And most of the time they're under control, you know, on these dribble drives that they're doing. And so I was watching, I forget which team it was. Was it Houston? Or we played a young team a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, they had a tremendous possession where five guys, you know, they touched the paint five times. But it was sort of frenetic about it, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. it worked out. They hit the three, I think. But, you know,
it might have been Memphis.
It might have been Memphis, yeah. It might where they had just an amazing possession. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. But they were frenetic with it. You know, the Kings, to me, seem a little more controlled in their pace on offense right
now. Yeah,
the
proof of what you just said is right there in the last two games. But last night, seven turnovers. That's spectacular.
Right.
That means you're taking care of the ball.
Taking care of the ball. Now, when you play frenetically,
The
ball can go anywhere. Exactly. When you're playing under control, you know, you have seven turnovers. And that's massive for this Kings team, especially at the pace at what they play. I mean, you know, De'Aaron Fox last night, zero turnovers. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's D-Fox.
Yeah.
He's handling the ball a lot. Had 23 points, but zero turnovers last night. And Malik Monk only had one last night. And so they're doing a great job on the offensive end.
Now, I'm going to go beyond the evidence a little bit. This is just one of my theories, and I don't know if there's evidence to support this. What do you think? To the point about the offense, the last two games, the offense in the half court, a lot more movement. It's been a lot more efficient and effective. I thought one of the things that happened at the end of the Washington game was the offense bogged down to the point where, this is just me talking,
okay.
De'Aaron and Malik sometimes, to me, they look around and go, no one else is going to do anything. I got to take over.
Yeah.
We have to take over the offense. And when they do that, they become ball dominant, not because they're selfish and they want theirs, but because they think none of these other guys are going to do anything.
Mm.
And then the offense starts to bog down and they don't run the offense.
You get into their one-on-one bag a little too much.
Yeah, and it's
maybe.
Effective
yeah.
sometimes,
right.
but then nobody else is effective. And I'm wondering if that's even something that sparked whatever it was between Coach and Malik. I don't know, but the offense has been much better since then.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, what you're understanding – and we saw it, I forget which game it was, not the Washington game. It might have been the Memphis game, actually, where the offense bogged down a little bit, and that led to turnovers, you know?
Yeah,
Because guys are, like you said, a little too much one-on-one.
Uh-huh. And over-dribbling.
Over-dribbling,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Getting too deep into the paint, if you will. And so that's something to keep an eye on as well tonight against Dallas. If they could keep the turnovers low, single digits –
and they're a bad defensive team, right?
Yeah. Yes, especially perimeter defense, you know. I think, you know, Luka isn't a lockdown defender. We know Kyrie isn't. You know, I talk about the Kings maybe having the best defensive backcourt. I can make a case that the Mavericks tonight have the worst defensive backcourt. And they're snipers when it comes to offensively.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're, you know, looking to lock down anybody defensively.
That's why I can't take them seriously. Big picture.
Mm.
Obviously, they're a good team. And they can hurt you on any given night. They can really hurt you. And their offensive numbers are impressive. But they can't guard people. And how serious can they really be as a contender when they can't guard people? That backcourt is a terrible. It's a bad defensive backcourt.
It really is. And 21st in defensive rating. 26th in deflections. And so they don't even get into passing lanes or get their hands on balls.
They don't want to hurt their fingers.
Right, exactly. Don't want to, you know, hurt their shooting hand.
Yeah,
you know, they
got to
get up there 25, 30 shots. And so it'll be interesting, you know, on both ends. Can the Kings slow down their backcourt? And also, can the Kings' backcourt take advantage of them on the offensive end?
Yes, but the Mavs, as we know, as we've said, they can fill up the bucket. We'll look at how they hurt you offensively when we come back. Also, tell you what, Kevin O'Connor thinks of Domas now when we return here to the Downtown Beach at Deli. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Drive Guys here, just saying hi to some old friends, getting ready for the Kings and the Mavs. And you can sense the excitement building here in downtown Sacramento. Huh?
Yes,
that's a beautiful thing about a downtown arena, right?
Dude, we can see it right here. We can look over there and see the arena. And as we get closer to game time, 7 o'clock game, it's going to be crazy down here. And we're hanging out at the Beach Hut Deli right here at 7th and K. Invite people to come out, say what's up, take some pictures, give Whitey crap for his Kirkland golf balls that he used, if you want.
I've never used a Kirkland golf ball.
You were shocked when I told you.
Like, I didn't even know they existed. That was the whole genesis of this whole thing. Did you say a Kirkland golf ball, baby?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Although,
yes,
as I told you, my neighbors brought me some, and now it's like.
Now you got some. Right.
It'd be rude not to use them, right?
My picture. I tell you what, I golfed today, and I played with Titleist. You know, not the top of the line, the Pro V1, but I lost like 3 or 4 balls today, and I'm telling you, I was like, man, I wish I was playing with the Kirklands. You know, because when you lose a Titleist, it hurts. You lose a Kirkland, you're like, ah, just reach for another. I got another one.
Right. Yeah. How many did you lose today?
Why are you asking that again? Three or four.
That's a lot.
It's a tough course. Listen, I challenge anybody to some golf because people are all drapes. Somebody on the text line earlier mentioned about,
maybe you need to leave the driver, leave the number one in the bag and try the 3-wood, brah.
Here it is, 916. Regardless of how bad of a golfer you are, Draper, finishing well means 3 pars in a row or you birdie the last hole or you birdie 1 out of the last 3 holes or something to that effect. No bogeys. Bogeys is not finishing well in any shape or fashion. That's from Ben.
I actually agree with that.
What?
And I'm not a very good golfer. But you
it's
can't
all
say,
relative,
I finished
right?
strong. I bogeyed 18. It's like, no.
If you're a 25 handicap, it's all relative. Golf is relative, my friend.
Golf is impossible.
If you're a scratch golfer and you finish with a par, are you happy with that? No, probably not. Probably, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. It's all relative. And so for me, if I could get a bogey every hole, I'm working with something. That's something to work with for me.
Yeah, you just need to raise your standards a little. So, you know, bogey is, that's okay. It's like if that's a market improvement, good, but that's not a good finish.
What's your handicap?
When I played, it was probably in the 20s.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I wasn't like, yeah, you see that putt? I just bogeyed 18. I only lost 4 balls today.
Right. And I tell you what, when you triple bogey like 7 holes and you end with a bogey, it's all about progression, you know? What if I double bogeyed the last 4 holes, but then, you know, did better? And, all right, it's only a bogey. Should have been a par. I missed a putt by an inch.
Then you played better.
Oh,
you were playing better when you finished, but you didn't finish well.
25 handicapper over here.
How many holes in one do you have?
It doesn't matter. You sitting with me today. You ain't on the PGA Tour. You ain't making money off your golf game.
I know. I didn't claim to be a good player. I'm not. Never was. But I just know that a bogey's not a good finish. That's all.
The game of golf.
For me, it is.
Thank you.
If you're playing from the tips.
Well, okay.
If it's a 480-yard par 4, let's say.
Right.
And you finish a bogey, okay, I'll take that.
I'm glad.
All I'm saying.
Good. You know why golf is so hard? If you, somebody who's never played, you put a ball in front of them, and then you hand them a club and say, go ahead. Just about everything that they're going to do is like, nope, that's wrong.
Right.
It's so counterintuitive.
It really is.
It's like that's not how you
do
that.
And the ball's just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
I'm glad you had fun today anyway.
Yes. Nice course. Del Paso today. Went to Del Paso. It was pretty good, man. Mm-hmm. It was solid.
Who'd you, anybody that we know that
My boy Ben and my other guy Christian, they just invited me out.
I know you play with
some high rollers. These are just great dudes, man. It just happened to belong to Del Paso.
Would you play with Kevin O'Connor if you had the chance to play golf with Kevin O'Connor? He's your guy, right? He's been your guy a long time.
He has been
Not
my
that
guy.
You agree with what he says, but you've known him a long
time.
I
feel kind of like guilty and because I'm sort of responsible for his success.
Really?
So Kevin O'Connor, when I worked in Boston, he's a young up-and-comer just trying to get put on, and he used to publish this draft guide. And nobody was using it, you know, and this is very early on in his career, and I was working at NBC Sports Boston, and he used to just give it to us for free. And then we started using it.
Nice.
And I was like, so to prepare for the draft, and sometimes we'd have him on. And so then he blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Simmons, obviously a Celtics guy, heard about him and then brought him on. So, yes, I'm kind of responsible for young Kevin O'Connor.
Well, I know that there were some people on Twitter last night, some Kings fans, wondering, you know, hey, there are some people that are very quiet. We're not hearing from them. They clearly were alluding to Kevin O'Connor. He did have some things to say about Domas today, but it was on his podcast on The Athletic. Now, unfortunately, because of paywall situations, we don't have the actual audio.
Oh.
But I can tell you what he said, which was, and he's
dude,
on
I got
with,
an Athletic subscription. Nobody okay. has. So,
yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll have to hook somebody up. Go ahead. Go, what'd he say? Go ahead.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It's The Ringer. The Ringer. Oh, okay. All right. The Ringers.
My mistake.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry about that. Yeah. He said, yeah, great. Whatever. He's a great regular season player.
Did he say it like that? Yeah.
He kind of did. Yeah. Whatever. And he's part. And I apologize. It was like, it's Venmo and KOC or Beano and KOC.
Venmo.
It's not. And I don't mean to disrespect the guy.
KOC.
I just don't know the guy's name, but there's two of them. And the other guy's kind of laughing at him like, oh, what do you think of Domas now? And he's like, oh, yeah, he's great. He's great. You know, like I said, he's great. He's a great regular season player. But can he do this in the postseason? That's what Kevin O'Connor had to say today on his podcast about Domas.
But this is the thing that frustrates me about this. And Kevin O'Connor can have his opinion. But why the heck should we care what he has to say?
That's a great point.
You know what I mean? Yahoo that doesn't have any NBA credentials, really.
Yes.
Isn't in the front office. Isn't on a coaching staff. Has never been a ball boy even.
Yeah.
Why are we giving this guy
great point.
And letting him have an opinion on Domantas Sabonis?
I know.
A three-time All-Star and All-NBA performer. I just don't get it.
There's some people that I respect on Twitter that they get really upset by what he has to say. And it's like, no, we're better than that here.
Yes.
He doesn't know, but I'm not going to let that. Right. I'm not going to let his ignorance ruin my day.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though. You know, and he's not the only one that thinks this. There is a segment of the population out there that thinks you got to do it in the postseason. But at this very moment, I don't care what Kevin O'Connor has to. We're not even at the. All right, we'll see you in the postseason. Now, if he doesn't deliver in the postseason, then we can talk about it. But right now, what he is doing, you got to give this man some respect.
To me, he's moving the goalposts on his whole argument in a way that's almost, Jake, would I say Draper-esque? Okay, you know what I mean.
We're on the same team here.
Yeah, where it's like, this guy's not that good, this guy's not that good, this guy's not that good. Oh, he's great, but he couldn't do it in the regular season. Wait, how'd we get from he's not that good to, oh, he's great, but only in the regular season.
Yeah. He's doing what you do a lot of times, move that goalpost, you know. It's, he's doing exactly what you do, and it frustrates me when you do it too. But
okay, all right, yeah, I get you. I feel you.
But let me ask you this then, though, you know, to play devil's advocate.
Venmo.
Does he need to do it in the postseason for you? Does he need to atone for the Golden State series in your mind?
Well, he does. I mean, every player needs to play well in the postseason, you know? Sure, he does. I'm not reserving my judgment of him as a player to wait and see how he does in the postseason. That's what it sounds like Kevin O'Connor's doing.
Right.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
But it's true.
Right.
I mean, we said it last year. It's like, man, this guy has to play better in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Sometimes I make analogies from sport to sport. Is it sort of like Dak Prescott with the Cowboys? Great regular season, but let me see you in the postseason.
Or
is that an unfair comparison because Domas's postseason hasn't been as bad as Dak's? You know, people are acting like Domas had the worst series a player ever had. He still averaged 16 and 11, and I know it wasn't the best, but is the postseason the knock on him for the postseason, is that overrated? Is that being looked at too much?
Well, it gets to how good he is. Because on the one hand, you know, he didn't have triple-doubles last year in the series against the Warriors, right?
Right.
In part because he can't get an assist if nobody can make a shot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Some people would say, well, if he's that good, if he's as good as some people are saying, then it shouldn't happen to us. He should be good enough to prevent that from happening to his team. I don't see it that way, but that's the argument for some. It's like, well, if he was that good, then he would be able to carry his team. Can he do that? We'll see. To me, clearly has to play better. And it's not just last year that he underperformed. With the Pacers, he had some series in the postseason where he didn't play as well in the postseason as he did in the regular season.
So I got his postseason game log.
When you've got a pattern of that, then that's something that you, yeah, he has to prove to everybody.
I got his game log here from the postseason. I got it right in front of me.
Okay.
You know, riddle me this here. Game one against Golden State, 5 for 17, 29%. Not good, right? Not good.
Right.
12 points, 16 rebounds. Not good. Game two, 8 of 12. Game three, 7 of 14.
Mm-hmm.
Game four, 7 of 13.
Mm-hmm.
Game five, 9 of 15. Game six, the one they won, 3 of 12. Game seven, 10 of 16.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of two games, his shooting percentage was excellent. It was 50 or above in five of the seven games. Now, would you have liked to seen him take more shots? Yes. You know, be more efficient in the two games. I think the two bad games that he had is weighing him down, like weighing the whole narrative of him in the postseason down last year.
And did you say, it's interesting, I should know this, but off the top of my head, I don't. Did you say the two bad games that he had shooting-wise were games that they won? Because game one, they won,
game
right?
One and game six. How about that?
Uh-huh.
How about that? They lost games 3, 4, and 5. Game 3, Domas 15 and 16. Game 4, 14, 7, and 8. Game 5, 21, 10, and 4. And I'll say this. The number of free throws. Game 1, 4 free throws. Game 2, 12 free throws. Game 3, 2 free throws. Game 4, 0 free throws. Game 5, 4 free throws. Game 6, 0 free throws. So I could argue that Domas probably should have been to the line a little bit more, too, in that series. And so I think this whole narrative that he was just awful in the postseason, to me, the numbers don't back it up. You could say he was bad in Game 1. You could say he was bad in Game 6. But overall, I'm not buying that.
Okay. Are you saying that he did not have a bad series? I'm not trying to corner you.
I'm saying he had a couple of bad games.
Okay.
I just pointed it out. Now, we know Domas, especially last year, is never going to take 18, 19 shots.
Right.
You know?
That's why I think some people will never consider him a great
right.
player, because he doesn't score 30-plus
right.
games.
Right. He's not going to be that guy. And to your point, if guys are making shots, then that 24.9 rebound game becomes a 24.9 and 9 assist game too. Like, it's different levels. And so the Warriors did a fantastic job on Domas.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole narrative, he had a bad series. When you look at the numbers, I could argue two games really weighed him down.
And
in terms of the numbers.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin O'Connor on Twitter, thank you, Simone, for sending this. Kevin O'Connor on Twitter, I'm giving away this collectible lunchbox and water bottle featuring DeMontis Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox in honor of Sabonis setting the post.
No, he did not say that. He did not say that. First of all, how'd he get it? Oh, this is what
the Kings gave
said.
Those
yeah,
away.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
What a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Kings fan better.
How to enter. Follow me on here. Reply to or quote this post. I'll pick a random winner right here before the Kings-Clippers game.
Don't give them the attention, Kings fans. Just for that, please. That is weak. That's weak. Collectible lunchbox and water bottle.
He's trying to make friends with Kings
fans. He's trying to kiss up to Kings fans. That's terrible.
How about that? Jay, you going to follow him and see if you can win
right,
the lunchbox?
Follow him? Oh, that's hilarious.
You know who has one of those lunchboxes, I believe? Ooh. Seriously, Brendan Nunes.
Oh, really?
He got one.
Find
out. He's going to join us next year as we roll on from the downtown beach at Delhi to Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Well, well, well. Here we are at the downtown beach at Delhi. We've got some interesting questions here in the chat. Why is Whitey in the shade and Draper is in the sun?
Somebody said that?
Yeah, that's what Compio wants to know.
I carry my own sun, big fella. It travels around with me.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, it's just the way, obviously, we're lined up here in front of the beach up Beach Hut Deli. And I think we both got a little sun and shade, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I put something to bed real quick, though?
Let's do it.
This golf situation, people coming down on me. My guy Tom Morton over at Hagen Oaks.
Your teacher?
Yes, yes. My instructor.
Did he
my
say,
sensei.
Please don't ever mention that I'm your teacher. teacher again or something like that?
I tell him all the time, if he can fix me, he is the greatest golf instructor ever. He says, pars are always great, Draper. But you're right. It's all relative based on level of player. He says, not true, Whitey. A bogey could be good.
No.
And tough finishing holes at Del Paso. 16, 17, and 18 at Del Paso are difficult, big fella. And I was playing from 6,700 yards. So not the tips, but the ones right in front of the tips. That's a little bit out of my range. And so I would appreciate you building me up instead of tearing me down.
No, I'm actually, you don't understand. I'm trying to help you.
First thing he said was no.
No. I'm trying to help you.
All right, what you got?
But obviously, Tom Morton can help you more than
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, he got me covered. He got me covered.
Nice enough to join us now. We were just mentioning Kevin O'Connor's giving away. Oh, okay. We're gonna get Brendan on here in just a minute.
Yeah.
We mentioned that Kevin O'Connor is he's like extending the olive branch to Kings fans today on Twitter, and he's saying, "Hey, follow me and comment on this, and you might win this." It's the All Star De'Aaron Fox Domantas Sabonis
lunchbox, yeah,
which the Kings gave away promotionally right. to try to increase the voting for
yeah.
those guys.
I'll give you this free
Sean
stuff.
Sean Cunningham
I got
one. Frankie got one. I believe Brendan got one.
But here's the thing about Kevin O'Connor. And you know,
he's your guy, right?
Why do you keep saying that? He used to be. You know, this Domas slander is killing me right now. But here's the thing about him. He goes on his podcast. He tweets. But we have invited him on here a number of times. And it's excuse after excuse after excuse. I don't know why he's scared. We had Amin El-Hassan, who is like public enemy number one here in Sacramento.
He walked right into the ring of fire.
Yes, he came on our show.
Yeah.
And he faced the smoke. Why won't Kevin O'Connor do it?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
All right. Let's find out if he has one of those lunch boxes. Our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, Brendan Nunes. Brendan, you have one of those lunch boxes, right? The All-Star Domas and Fox lunchbox?
You know, I may or may not have given it to some family, but I had okay. one at one point.
Gotcha. Do you think, how far do you think that goes towards patching things up between Kevin O'Connor and Kings fans that he's given one away to somebody today to kind of, well, he says it's in honor of Domas's double-double streak. Do you think that's going to take care of it? They're going to fix that relationship?
You know, something tells me that Kings fans are still going to hold on to this, I guess, grudge is the word. I think it's going to.
Yeah.
Might take a little bit more, but, you know, he's working in the right direction and poking fun at himself a little bit here and there. So I definitely have
sure.
a respect for Kevin O'Connor, and it's a fun back and forth with Kings fans for sure.
Let me ask you this, Brendan, before we really dive into tonight's game and we really get into it. Where are you at right now, and how come you aren't at Beach Hut Deli sitting across from us, big fella? We got the live show going on. We got Kings fans hanging with us. Hold on. Oh, that's Sac State. I thought it was Charlotte Hornets for a second there. I was like, hold on. You got a Sac State?
Yes. Like,
we got the people out here. Where are you at, my friend?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Honestly, it totally slipped my mind that this was today. I'm going to swing by when I leave a little bit here before I get my way over to the stadium. So I will swing by and say hi. But you're not wrong. That's on me. I should be there in person right now.
All right. Okay. Just making sure.
One thing I found just between you and I, Drake, when someone says, I'm going to try to
swing by.
You ain't going to see him.
I'm
coming is one thing, but I'm going
to try to swing by. Yeah.
We also have a Frankie Clicks, and now we have a Brendan Slips. He's going to slip on by.
Oh,
it slipped his mind.
No. Frankie has enough nicknames for both of us.
Let me ask you about Domas here, Brendan. What has impressed you the most about his season to this point?
I mean, it's probably the consistency. The fact that it's 54 in a row, and you have to go back to, I think it's November, the last time that he did not have a double-double. It's hard to not just have a night here and there where you don't have it, or even a night where he goes down in the middle of the game. I mean, we see how much that this guy gets hit. You know, last night took a while to get the opportunity to talk to him because he's kind of got some cuts on his face last night, who knows how many times he went down throughout the course of that game. So I think it's just the consistency. You know what you're getting night in and night out. I think very early in the year, there was a couple Houston games, two in a row in Houston that De'Aaron didn't play. And that's the only time I can think all year where it's just like, man, Domas just didn't really have it tonight. He does it night in and night out. And I think being able to rely on that is really big for any team.
Thank you, Brendan. By the way, an update. James, the guy who always brings popcorn to Drapes when we're at the in the arena, he just stopped
this
by.
This is amazing.
Brought
dude.
You popcorn, and he brought me golf balls.
And they're not Kirkland at that.
Tailor made, baby.
Yes, tailor made. That's high end.
That's nice.
I don't believe I got my popcorn, though. So,
that's very nice.
Hey, man, this day's off to a great start. This is unbelievable. Got the popcorn, about to eat some Beach Hut Deli. I'm excited. All right, Brendan. Sorry about that, man. Back to tonight's game. You know, I want to follow up on the Domas situation because we know, you know, how valuable he's been this season. You know, Kevin O'Connor talks about the postseason and everything like that. Ultimately, when you look at this season for the Sacramento Kings, as big and as great as it is right now, what Jay pointing to? No, that's not him. That's not Jay in a row. I know. I gotta stay focused, dude. I'm telling you, man. I lose my focus so easily,
guys,
man.
TV people, on the radio.
I lose my focus. No, but Brendan, you know, ultimately, is this team going to be judged by what happens in the playoffs? Like, Domas could put up 54 straight double doubles. He could be 25 triple double, man. But do we need to see this come playoff time?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I get the defensive concerns when it comes to Sabonis and some of the offensive stuff of I do think that teams are going to put him in spots like Golden State did last year where hitting that mid-range, it would probably be pretty helpful, but also he's just not that type of player. And I think that people point to that a lot in the Golden State series when reality is like Kevin Huerter was not hitting any shots. Keegan Murray didn't come alive until game 3 or 4 in there. And Harrison Barnes was pretty quiet throughout most of it. Like, if your shooters, which I get, that's what Golden State was taking away. But if those guys aren't struggling in that aspect, I think we're talking about this differently, you know? And I feel like a lot is getting made of a series where they took them to 7 games. And sure, Curry had 50 in that, but you limit some loony offensive rebounds and make some free throws, then they're out of the first round, and who knows what could happen from there. So I do think that's what it's going to come down to, and the Kings have some things to work through. But I think embracing this physicality is something Davion Mitchell mentioned after last game, doing it now instead of last year when it, you know, came out of nowhere to them in the playoffs and could have contributed to some of the legs that led to short shots on the other end.
Brendan Nunes, I have to give you a ton of credit because you shared something, I believe it was on social media, you shared something that this week that took a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of courage to share. Really? Basically, you said that you had almost given up on the idea of the Kings taking momentum into the postseason. Is that what you said? You said you'd almost given up, and it stunned me because you've been so optimistic. How close did you come, and what changed your thinking back to a point where you're more optimistic now about the rest of this year?
Yeah, you know, kind of like you said there, Whitey, like I feel like I was the one holding out for a long time.
Yes,
consistencies. I'm like, you know, all it takes is you just got to be playing the best basketball at the right time. And I don't remember exactly what game it was, but post-All-Star break, some of these I was just like, man, I don't know. Maybe this team is just inconsistent and I shouldn't bet on that. But even despite the Washington loss, I think that this has been a little bit different. I think it's been on the defensive side of the ball. Specifically, you look at these last 8 games, you know, teams are shooting 31.5% from three. In pre-All-Star break, that number's right around 40. I think that the physicality and the refs letting that exist a little bit more so has helped the Kings.
I agree.
And a few other small aspects as well. But I think that specifically that defense seems to be bought in more. And I've always been of the belief of defense is where you can find consistency in the NBA because if you're a good offensive team, sometimes nature of it is shots aren't going to go down, but you can bring it every single night defensively. So they continue trending in this direction. I'm going to keep believing for now.
Don't stop believing. All right. Brendan, as we look forward to this matchup tonight against Dallas, I said basically it's going to come down to perimeter defense tonight because when you look at the Dallas bigs, I don't think they get a whole lot on their own. They get a lot off of Luka and Kyrie. How important is staying in front of their two star guards going to be tonight?
Yeah, definitely a big thing, obviously, with that duo, and it's a job that I don't envy anyone having to do. I do think they're a little bit better equipped to deal with Kyrie, whether that's Keon Ellis or De'Aaron Fox, or if, you know, maybe Davion Mitchell comes in the game for a little while and gives them some reps. They have some okay options there. But when it comes to Luka, you know, we'll see how Keegan does would be my guess. I think Chris Duarte will probably get some reps. Maybe Harrison Barnes in there. Do you try to go to Kessler Edwards at some point? I mean, that's where it's interesting to me. He doesn't have crazy foot speed like Maxey was kind of picking on Keegan in a way that I don't feel like we've seen that often this year, but that's just how quick Maxey is, and Luka's not the same type of player, but he's very crafty, and Keegan still has some flaws on that end. So that's the one where I think that they could run into some troubles. And I agree with you on the bigs that it all comes from those guards, but there's going to be a point in the game where you got to double Luka, and Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford could just totally kill you as a role man.
Yeah. Brendan, what do you think? The Kings, do they need both these? If they get one, is it like unfortunate but manageable? Where are we really with the importance of winning both of these games from the Kings' standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think they really need one. Obviously, both is going to be the more ideal outcome here, right, from Sacramento's perspective. But sitting at six, tied with Dallas, right now you're 2-0 in the season series. And so I think just getting one keeps you where you're at in the standings and secures the tiebreaker, which will probably, the way it's shaken out, could have some pretty significant implications when the postseason, you know, actually solidifies itself here. So I think getting at least one and winning the season series is big. And, you know, if it's tonight, it might help your odds about winning the next one, because if, you know, you fall in this one, all of a sudden Dallas is like, okay, we got a chance to even this series. So tonight's a big one.
Yeah.
Losing Friday would be like bogey in 18, you know, it'd be like.
It depends, though, man. You know, it depends on what kind of golfer you are. And Brendan, what time you getting down here, big fella? Come on over. Have some Beach Hut Deli with us. I know you usually like, you know, the Golden One Center media meal that they have, but sub on me today. Come on through.
That works for me. I'm going to be there about 4:30 if you guys will still be around. And you know me, yeah, I just love my media food. Yeah, we all love our media food, right?
Yeah, I know y'all do, man. I know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brendan. We'll talk to you soon. We look forward to seeing you.
Appreciate you guys. I will come
right,
on by.
Care. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to try to swing by. Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Brendan. By the way, I got to give you a ton of credit. Last night on your postgame, you and Morgan put up a graphic. Actually, it was a tweet from Frankie, and you were like, that's my guy, Frankie.
I should have called him Clicks. Darn.
Yeah,
I dropped the ball in that one. I should have called him Clicks. Oh, but I gave him a shout out.
You did. It was very nice.
Sports 1140. That is my guy.
Yeah.
I dropped the ball on the Clicks, though. That would have been epic, dude. That would have been epic.
But that was, I don't know if he knew about that, but I thought it was really.
You saw that? Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
He's our guy.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
When we come back, Monty Williams, he does not much care for the way a former King set a record against his team. We're all over that next year. From the downtown Beach Hut Deli in the shadows of the Golden One, it's a Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. So what do you think, Drapes? What's your feeling about tonight, about these next two games, about the Kings and the Mavs?
I feel great because for the first time, we've heard the team, the players mention how big a game is. You know, we've heard from De'Aaron Fox in the past, oh, it's just one of 82. No, they understand the magnitude of this one. So I'm expecting them to come out ready. We always know the Golden One Center crowd is going to be on point. I'm not worried about the 17,000, 18,000 in the building. I want our guys. And that's why Keon Ellis in the starting lineup is so good right now, because you need that energy, I think, right from the get-go. You can't get down 6, 10, 12, 16 points early on to this Mavs team. Get up early. Use this crowd to your advantage. And I think Keon does a great job of establishing that energy early on.
I don't like the Mavs. I don't give them the credit they deserve. But I do think they're obviously capable of putting you in an early hole. They're capable of throwing some haymakers early on where, you know, you're back on your heels a little bit. So I think it'll say a lot about the Kings' fortitude. And maybe, you know, maybe the Kings just blow them out tonight. But I think they have the wherewithal now, the confidence and the sense of what they're doing, where they're probably going to be able to withstand something like that if the Mavs come out of the gate that way.
Yeah, and the thing that, you know, concerns me the most about the Mavericks is the two guards, Kyrie and Luka. They have two guys that can go Steph Curry game 7 on you. And, you know, you could play the best defense in the world and it could just be one of their nights. I'm hoping second night of a back-to-back for them. Luka played, you know, an enormous amount of minutes, I think like 40 minutes or something like that last night to get the win against Utah. But they have two guys that no matter your defensive scheme, they can break it down
themselves.
And so that's why, you know, the on-ball defense is going to be key tonight.
They shoot a lot of threes. They're third in attempts. I think in percentage they're closer to middle of the pack, but they shoot a lot. When we talk about the Kings and how they play at pace, and I think the Kings are, what, around 12th in pace, and Dallas is 7th in pace. So they play at a faster pace than the Kings statistically throughout the course of the year. But they're just, as we've said earlier, 21st in defensive rating. So they will, you know, it's one thing if they get up on you, and this is the way teams, I think, used to be against the Kings earlier this year. If they get up on you, it's all right. You know you're going to have chances to get back in the game because they have problems getting stops.
Yes, they do. And, no, to your point, yes, you know, you're never out of it with them, you know, and we've seen this Sacramento Kings team explode offensively, and so, you know, they're never out of it. I just, you know, it's going to be interesting. I talk so much about Kyrie and Luka, you know, hopefully a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. doesn't get hot too,
right?
You know, like, it's who's going to be that X factor guy, you know? Is it, keep an eye on that six man battle, Malik Monk and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Mm-hmm.
tonight, you know, because those two guys are you know, 2-3 or 1-2 or 1-3 in terms of six man of the year race right now. And so it, you know, Kyrie and Luka, you know, they're a handful.
What's up with Malik, bro? Pardon me, but what's up with Malik?
What do you mean, bro?
Well, yeah, in the last couple games I've been playing great, right?
What are you talking about?
Been a while
about?
Since he's made a three.
What's up?
In the last couple of games, he's dominant. He's like the greatest player ever. In the last couple of games, been like
he just misses shots, bro.
Okay.
Just calm down, man. Yeah. You know, what's wrong
with
Malik?
Score.
Dude,
yeah.
We just coming off a win last night against the Sixers.
Yeah, I made a three in two games. All right,
and
what's
we
up
still
with Malik?
Won. And we still won the last two games.
I know.
How about that?
Yeah.
That shows you the growth of the team. We don't need Malik to put on his cape and come in.
What's
He's
up with
saving
Malik?
It for tonight.
Okay.
He's saving it for tonight.
Fair enough.
My boy will be no because he understands. All the talk about Tim Hardaway Jr., sixth man of the year. It's like being a boxer, you know. You know who, you know, the competition is. You know the big names. You may not see them every day, but you read the newspapers. You check out the websites.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Basketball Reference. You're looking at the odds for sixth man of the year. You got, of course, Malik Monk at the top. Bobby Portis is there as well. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is right there. So my guy Malik, he understands and he's going to know what's needed from him tonight. He will outduel Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight. Trust
me
on that.
Has that been part of it? Has he been kind of looking ahead to this matchup? Because I know you get mad when I mention this, but you haven't made a three-pointer in two games.
Jay hopping on the mic there. Jay's I want to get a part of this.
Yeah, because this is the thing, and when it really comes down to it, fellas, is Malik has been the stalwart of the season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's been not questioned about anything. And I actually find it interesting that you were asking Drapes about him not playing well.
Yeah,
because I think
it's so unusual.
Yes. I mean, honestly, he's been the person beside Domas. I think there's even been a couple times where De'Aaron has had a lull in our season where Malik hasn't. And I was going to ask you to kind of follow this. Is his sixth man wrapped up?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Both of you guys said
100%.
Yeah. I'll be
but
quiet.
I will say though, Jay.
I'll be quiet.
In my opinion, it's wrapped up.
Okay.
But this is another opportunity nationally to get it done.
Right.
Tonight, next week against New York,
the
on
Knicks.
TNT, East Coast game. Yes. And that's why I think my boy will ball out tonight.
I got a question for you. I wanted to see what you think of this. Monty Williams. Coach of the sorry Pistons, right? Yeah, and so it's been a horrible year for him. He's getting what is he getting? $14 million a year?
Yeah, $14 million, something like that.
But
yeah.
They lost last night to the Knicks, 124-99. In the process, former King Dante DiVincenzo hit 11 threes. That's a Knicks record. Now he hit the record setter with 3:16 left in the fourth quarter. Detroit was never closer than 25 in the fourth quarter. So Monty Williams says, I don't care about their team at all. I couldn't care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part of that story.
Mm.
Now, is there anything to that? Monty's like, the game was already decided. They shouldn't be piling up threes. And I think it was Josh Hart says that old thing. You don't want him to make threes. Stop him.
Right?
So who's right here?
What do you think, Jay?
I'm going with the player.
Ooh.
Because you do have to stop him. If it wasn't disrespectful, fellas, was it disrespectful to you guys that
you could say it was disrespectful that he was still playing, but you know Tibbs plays everybody like he'd play everybody 48 minutes.
Truth, he's like Creighton. I know. Yeah, you guys watched the tournament at all?
A little bit.
Like they play only six guys and they play every single minute. Yep. I think you definitely have to stop the player, but the other part of it too is we talked about this. You guys have talked about Domantas Sabonis not stat chasing, right? I don't know if Dante is stat chasing, but he's also not in the mode of, look, I'm not out here 35, 40 minutes a game. Right. He's out there 27 minutes a game. I'm trying to get mine.
I'm trying to get my buckets. Well, it goes back to the Devin Booker 70 in Boston that we talked about, and Leandro Barbosa was part of that team
picture.
And on the staff. Yeah, and that they took the team picture, and they said – because Devin Booker was a young player, you're trying to back him as an organization. You want to do something special for him. You know, he's going to be the future of your franchise. Let him rock out. Let him do his thing. You're not going to win the game anyway.
Right.
The thing about the DiVincenzo situation, you're up. What's up, boys? What's happening? You're up big on the Pistons. It's the lowly Pistons. Why are you trying to take advantage of them, though, Jay?
Because everybody has. So why is Monty upset that people are trying to get their money? You know, because we're coming. And the reason I even jumped on, fellas, was because I wanted to ask about Malik getting that six man.
Yeah.
We care about our awards here in Sacramento, do we not?
Yes.
We care about all NBA teams
and all that.
Six mans and clutch players of the year. And so I found it interesting because if Malik struggles tonight and he struggles New York, which I thought was perfect what you were saying, Drapes, that was going to be my question is, does he really have six men locked up? And if not in Sacramento, and not so much as the drive guys, because I know we can handle it, but in Sacramento, let's just say it goes awry and he doesn't win six men. We're crying about Kevin O'Connor. We're crying about Amin. We're crying about John Hollinger. We're crying about people who's not giving us our respect.
Where's this guy going? Where's this coming from?
I know, but here's the thing, Jay. If he doesn't win six men,
which he should, by the way,
it's, to me, the same level of Domantas Sabonis not being an all-star. They haven't clearly watched.
Yeah.
They are it's bias, not necessarily bias against Sacramento. It's they're just not aware
ignorance.
Of what we're doing.
It's
they're ignorant.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just are not watching the games. Now, Milwaukee, meanwhile, they're on TNT and national TV once a week. People see that. Dallas, the same thing. When you got Luka, you get the narrative. You think about this. You look at, you know, Dallas, Milwaukee. I don't even know who else is in the running, but the national narrative around those two franchises, they have a much higher profile than Sacramento.
True.
And so to me, that's the only reason Malik Monk would not get it.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I mean, I think if there's any award that's wrapped up for me, it's the sixth man out of all the awards so far this year.
It's as close to clinched as an
MVP
award
too.
With
MVP?
11 games left.
Nah.
You don't think it's Jokic?
Nah, I don't think so. Right. I think Shea's got a conversation to be had. I know Tatum and
Tatum
Celtics,
should be getting some more love.
The Celtics just lost a 30-point lead.
Yeah, that's
I mean, who do you guys right now? This is an exercise. Today's March 26th.
Yeah.
They won't announce this until June. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
it's
in the playoffs,
Western Conference
sure.
Finals,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, in the Conference Finals, who do you guys have for MVP right now?
Jokic.
Drake.
Should have won it last year.
I might give it to my guy Tatum. I really might give it to Tatum.
Now, what if Shea gets it and both of you guys?
Nah, I would not be upset if Shea.
Anthony
got it.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not going to
give it
to Anthony.
All right.
Anthony Edwards is a great player, but you know they got a number of
if they finish
players.
First.
Think about this.
Okay. He's not there
How
yet.
Come Tatum's not getting the love?
I think
they
should be.
Best team by far. It's
I
not
agree.
Even close, and he's not getting the love.
I agree. I think by far he should be in the conversation. But it's an
Drew Holiday does all his dirty work for him.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Whoa.
By the way, did you see Drew Holiday's? He says that his family comes to games and they wear
Lakers gear.
That's disrespectful.
And he plays for the Celtics.
That's disrespectful.
Ask Drapes. Like, well, if they grew up and they like Magic when they were kids.
I'm going to exit on the mic.
I know. I know.
One,
right? We got to get to the break. What time is it? Anybody got a clock here? Let's.
We got to take a timeout. We come back. Three most impressive things about last night's win. Drive Guys, Beach Hut Deli, Sactown Sports.